cross was stained with the precious blood of Jesus. When he died for me in awful agony, my poor human mind can't comprehend such mercy. But I'm so glad he chose to go to Calvary. I'd never go to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for each drop you shed for me. And then one day when I'm enjoying heaven's beauty, and the face of my dear Savior I'll behold, I will thank him for the blood he shed on Calvary. For it's the paid the ransom for my soul. Without the blood, I'd never know my Savior. Without the blood, I'd be lost eternally. I'd never go to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for each drop you shed for me. And without the blood, I'd never go to heaven.
Saints, according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why all the groaning? Well, we'll find out this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that there's a better place. And as we were reminded, if it were not for the blood that was shed by the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that paid for the sins of the whole world, we would never see heaven. We'd never have anything to groan about, to long for, because what would wait on us on the other side would not be somewhere we'd want to be or want to go. Thank you for Jesus, for paying the price on Calvary's cross, for allowing us to look forward to a wonderful place that you're preparing for us. And Lord, I pray about this message. Lord, I do. Lord, I guess I'm just giving myself over to the leading of your Holy Spirit this morning. And I want to glorify Jesus and lift him up. So please help that to happen, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. There's been in my life in the last couple of weeks an unusual amount of groaning. Groaning. No, I didn't injure myself. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And I think I groan more some weeks than others. Probably when I'm closest to the Lord, I groan more. Probably when I'm preoccupied with the world, I groan less. And I'll talk to you about what I'm talking about. You know, I just don't do it for me. I pulled out our church membership list this morning, and as I often do, and prayed down through our church list. And, you know, y'all are a mess. You really are. I get to praying down this list, and I get so depressed. I can't get through the seas without being so depressed. I think, you know something, folks? This whole life is just a veil of tears. It really is. And Brother Hiles used to end his radio broadcast by saying, be good to everybody, because everybody's having a good time, everybody's having a rough time. Kind of messed that up. Be good to everybody, because everybody's having a rough time, and goodbye from the pastor study. He used to end his radio broadcast every day by saying that, and I thought, you know what, whether you understand it or not, there's more heartaches around you than you can imagine. You know, I was kidding around before the service with one of our members, and he was telling me how much older I look and gray-headed. And I'm tired of everybody telling me how much better Dad looks and how much worse I look. I think there's a common denominator here or something, you know? You know, until you carry the load, you don't know. There's a... You know, Paul used to say, and I don't know how Paul did it, Paul was an amazing man, because he said he carried the burden of all churches. And, you know, when you're a pastor, you carry the burdens of your people. You do. You can't help but. You just do. And you pray down through there, and my goodness sakes, during the song service a lot of times, I just look out and think about our folks that are sitting here and think about what you're facing and what you're going through. And we're not going to have a pity party this morning, so don't get all excited, all right? But it's just a fact of life. There's not a family in here that's not touched by a heartache. There's not a person in this room that doesn't carry something. And you know what? You may know about it, and you may not. Most of the time, you don't. Most of the time, you don't. And there's a groaning that goes inside of you when you get saved. There's a longing that happens inside of a person that's saved. There's something changes. You see, let me introduce the message by just making a few statements. When somebody gets saved, we receive, let me just put it this way, we receive a little touch of heaven inside of us. Now, isn't that the truth? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And there's just some things that are different on the inside. You know, before you were lost in your sin, now by the grace of God, you're saved. Before you were in condemnation before God, now you've received His forgiveness. Before you had your ticket punched and were heading to hell, but God tore that ticket up and gave you a new one, now you're heading to heaven. And the Holy Spirit of God comes inside and indwells the believer. And because of that, there's a little touch of heaven that lives inside of us, a person that represents God, that is God, that lives inside of us. And He's always given us, I think, a little glimpses here and there of heaven. Sometimes I'll be listening to a song like I listened to this morning, and I'll feel like God allows me. You know, Paul wrote it this way. He says, "But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." And you know, we really can't, because of this flesh that we're in, because of our human limitations, we can't really see it as it's going to be. But every once in a while, the Holy Spirit just lets us maybe touch the hem of the garment of what's waiting for us out there. Sometimes you'll find that at the deathbed of a loved one. And it just seems like when the door opens and the portals open and the Spirit is received, maybe those that are there just get a little glimpse or a little feeling or a little tug of something going on. Because heaven's door cracked open and let another soul in. And sometimes I'm reading my Bible and I get so into it that, you know what, I forget that I'm in Jacksonville. Hallelujah. I think about I forget about my problems. I forget about my heartaches. I forget about all of the oppression. I forget about the condition that America's in. I forget about all of the worries. And I just get engrossed in the Word of God. And all of a sudden I look down and halfway expecting to be walking on golden streets. And then I kind of come crashing back down to reality. And usually it's because the phone rings. And but then I'll start groaning. You know, I'll start groaning. I like to go soul winning. And every once in a while, the Lord will bless us here and bless folks here that are engaged in that activity. You know, every once in a while, the Lord will just bless you with letting you lead somebody else to Christ. And I think that, again, heaven's door just kind of opens. I don't know. There's probably, maybe we hear a little shouting. Maybe we hear a little rejoicing. Maybe Jesus stands up. I don't know. But there's something that's right there at the edge of heaven. When you're standing in the presence of someone who bows their head and with a sincere heart cries out and asks God to save them, there's just something special about that moment. And from time to time, we get close. We get to see a little glimpse. We get to feel, maybe the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see something for the first time or lets us feel something for the first time. But you know what, folks? The honest truth is, even though we have a little touch of heaven in us, we still must live out our time that God's designated for us here on earth. And it's not always easy. You know, people that are lost would worry about what I'm going to show you, but hold your place there, Romans, because we're going to come back. But flip over to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. And I don't think I really have to explain this to most saved people. Brother Jerry, you worry me a little bit. You sound like you're not satisfied with being here on earth. You sound like it's almost a tragedy that you're still here. I mean, if I didn't know better, I'd think you were wanting to go on. Well, I'm not the only one. I think there's folks all over this room that knows what that feeling, and the Apostle Paul knew what it was like. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, this beautiful, wonderful verse, Paul writes, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, lost people wouldn't understand it. I mean, unsaved people, and I think even carnal Christians kind of shake their hand. And it sounds like he's getting awful excited talking about this dying thing. I mean, well, hold on, he's not done. He's going to say some radical things here. He says, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And you know what? Most of us that are saved, if it was just us and it didn't affect anybody else, and we had a choice, I mean, to trade the old Jacksonville for the new Jerusalem? I mean, come on now. the Green County potholes for the streets of gold? Come on. I mean, don't hold up a glass of water that you get out of the... I mean, if you get city water, don't hold it up to the light and look at it. Just close your eyes and drink. That compared to what's going to be flowing down the river of life there in heaven? I mean, folks, it's a no-brainer. To look forward to eventual death or to look forward to eternal life? You know, what are you saying, Brother John? I'm saying, you know what? Sometimes we groan, don't we? There's a groaning, there's a longing inside of us. You see, let me have you flip back to Romans chapter 8, because if you look in 19, verses 19 through 21, it teaches us some things. You see, once we're saved, let me just kind of put this in a capsule for you. Listen, when we get saved, we receive a touch of heaven. God changes us and God indwells us. And even though we are saved, we still are stuck here on this old sinful earth. But once we're saved, we never really feel at home here anymore. Now, I'm not trying to get a bus load up. Don't worry, we're not going to pass out Kool-Aid. Everybody ought to go when it's your time to go. And that's in God's hands. That's not something we choose and shouldn't choose. That's in God's hands. But there's nothing wrong with longing for it sometimes. Because you see, there's just something different. Maybe before you were saved, you kind of felt connected. You kind of felt a part of what was going on. Even if it was bad, you kind of felt a part of something. But when you get saved, you get a new citizenship. And you just feel like a pilgrim. You feel like a stranger dwelling in a strange land. I mean, you just don't fit in anywhere. And everything that the world gets excited about, you just don't get excited about it. And everything that seems to be so important to everybody out there, and they're running around like a bunch of maniacs and running this rat race. And you just kind of go, why? Why? You see, and you just don't feel at home. You know why? Because this isn't home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. You hear that? Then I start groaning. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. See, there's a door been opened. You know why it's open? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I just can't. Seems like the more I grow in grace, the more I grow in the Lord, the less I feel at home here. I just don't feel at home. You see? So there's something that starts happening inside of us. We start groaning. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, there's an earnest expectation that just is there in the heart of, you know, it's like every day you wake up and you think, man, you know what? I like the way Chuck ends his prayers. Just ask Jesus to come. And he says, Lord, whatever your will is fine, but boy, would you come today? Hey, man, that sounds all right. It sounds good. See, would you just come today? Why? Because we've got this groaning. There's an earnest expectation of the creature. We're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You see, jump if you will down to verse number 22. You see, since we're saved, we become frustrated living in this place, in this world, in the sinfulness of this world, and then being trapped in the limitations of this mortal sinful flesh. It just gets old sometimes. You see, you know, we're going to have a glorified body one of these days. Man, alive, hallelujah. And we know that. And it causes us to start groaning. You know, you start thinking how much better it will be. Can I have you hold your spot there? Because I want to come back and talk about this. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hold your spot there because we'll be right back there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This whole lot of this chapter is about our glorified body that we'll one day receive. And it says, as he is, so shall we be. And it's kind of neat to study Jesus in his post-resurrection ministry there when he was running around in his glorified body. Do y'all have fun reading that? I like that part where the disciples are in an upper room and the Bible says they shut the doors for fear of the Jews. So they're in this, I picture this room with the door shut and the window shut and everything locked and fastened. They're kind of huddled in there and all of a sudden Jesus just appears in the middle of them. I can't wait to get my glorified body. Can you imagine how much fun we're going to have? I like scaring my kids now. Can you imagine how much fun I'm going to have then? You know. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Listen, you don't understand that's your future if you're a Christian? You are going to have an incorruptible body. You are going to be immortal. Not because we deserve it. It's because Jesus bought and paid for it for us. Amen. Immortal. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all this is talking about is one of these days we get to trade this in, and we know this. And so you know what we do as Christians when we get to thinking about these things? We think about heaven. We think about a glorified body. We think of streets of gold. We think of a mansion. We think of no more pain, and we think of no more heartache. And you know when you think the most about these things? When you're suffering the most here. And all across this room, whether you know it or not, there's people that all week long there's been this quiet groaning. You know why? Because they carry a burden, and wouldn't heaven be so much better? Or they carry a disease or a sickness, and you know what? Wouldn't it just be better to go to heaven? Wouldn't that be something to go to heaven? And we groan. We do. We groan. You ever get tired of just being mortal? I think it would be really neat to be immortal. I'm going to be immortal one of these days. I hope you don't leave here and say, Brother Jerry's preaching some wild doctrine. It's in the Bible. This mortal shall put on immortality. I mean, God's going to allow that. That's one of the gifts He's given me when he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He put the order in on the new body.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to be exciting. You see, you go back to Romans chapter number 8. We'll talk about this groaning for a few minutes. Verse number 22, it's not just us that are saved that groans. Verse 22 says that all creation groaneth. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, you see, this is what I'm just going to tell you. When I meditate on this, what I see. I think about the earth. Now, we think the earth is so beautiful at times, and this earth is beautiful at times. And this is just beautiful. And in the fall, the color of the leaves, and in the morning, the sunrise. But you understand that as beautiful as this, and you go to the Rocky Mountains, and you drive through them, and you say, oh, my goodness sakes. Go take a drive down to that through the Appalachians. You go, I mean, any direction you go, we live in a wonderful country, by the way. Just about any direction you go, there's something wonderful and neat to see. Me and Hannah got to spend a little time in Arizona. That was unbelievable. You ought to get to Sedona. I mean, them red rocks, and you just drive through there, and you are speechless. It's absolutely amazing. And you stand on the precipice of the Grand Canyon, you think, but here's what we better understand. Everything that we see, no matter how beautiful it is groaning. Now, this is what I think. I think that when God created the heavens and the earth, it was spectacular. I think what we see now is a pathetic, downgraded representation of how beautiful earth was before sin descended on it. And I think that creation, the trees and the grass and the rocks and the mountains and the rivers, they all remember the oceans, they all remember the former glory before the sin curse came, before man came along and sinned and messed it up. And I think they're groaning. They want to go back to that. They want to be new, and they will be new again. God's going to burn this place up with a fervent heat and remake a new heaven and a new earth. The whole creation groans. The trees are groaning, saying, I wish Jesus would come back. The rivers are groaning. I wish I could go back to what I was when sin didn't taint everything. All the flowers, as beautiful as a flower may be, they all say, you should have seen me before the curse. Seen how beautiful God made it, you see. Well, creation understands what we're talking about. But it says in verse number 23, and not only they, talking about creation, but ourselves also. Who's he talking about? Which have the first fruits of the Spirit. He's talking about those of us that are saved. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Why are we groaning? Why? What, Brother Jerry, you're talking about this groaning. Where's the source of it? What's the reason for it? Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so we groan. I get tired of the limitations of this sinful flesh. I get tired of being hampered from being all that I want to be for Christ. I mean, when this mortal puts on immortality, I think our spirit that has so desperately wanted to be all that God wanted us to be is going to shout like it's never shouted before. It's not held down by this sinful flesh anymore. This mind that's wanted to focus on God and think clearly and think purely is going to shout. This heart that's wanted to have pure emotions and pure feelings all and struggled back and forth and back and forth. And maybe at times we got a little glimpse of it, but all of a sudden the sin curse is gone. We've been adopted. We've been redeemed. We've been claimed. All this is in the past. And we know all that is ahead. And I think that's where the groaning comes from. We're longing for that. I get tired of being stuck in one place. Don't think I'm being blasphemous, but I wish I could. I want to be omnipotent. I mean, omnipresent and omnipotent. Now, are you going to get that? No. But I would like to at least to move faster. I mean this. Do you feel this way? I go to my office and I sit down. I was praying through our group of our members this morning. And I'm thinking about, I mean, honestly, I feel like I need to spend 3 days doing nothing but just dialing numbers and spending 15, 20 minutes talking to every single person in this church, and most of them need a call. And I think that's not right. You can't talk to people on the phone about things. You need to go see them. And I say, okay. So I call up the local scientist and I say, how's that cloning thing going? They got that worked out yet? And then there's this that needs done, and then there's this that needs studied for, and this needs to be. And I go down, and sometimes I'm rushing through the school, and these kids come running over, and they want to. And I stop and chat with them, talk with them, get down on one knee, and listen to whatever important story needs to be told. And a little girl will come by and push a paper in my hand, a little note she wrote, and I think, you know what I need to do? I need to just take a week and do nothing but just hang out with the school kids, just take them on trips. Amen. Get them away from their work. You know, take the guys out somewhere, and, you know, we'll go down to the Yamaha Suzuki shop and talk that guy into the fact that we all need to test drive a four-wheeler, you know. The whole school. I think he'd fall for that. Yeah, he would. All these kids are probably going to buy one, so why don't you let them all test drive one? And then I'd get the biggest one, and I'd yell, follow me, and we go, you know. And we'd come back about 3 days. And I'd be bankrupt for the rest of my life trying to pay for it. But, man, that would be an incredible 3 days, I'll tell you. And you just, you know. And then I'm praying down through the list, and I think of, our elderly folk. Not a one of them want to ride a four-wheeler. Well, maybe a couple. I'm going to think about that. My mom probably, but not any of the normal ones would want to ride a four-wheeler. I'll tell you, we went out to eat the other night with them, and she drove us to Terre Haute. I'm going to tell you, that's the last time. I'll just tell you right now. When I was little, I didn't have a choice, but I'm not putting myself through that again. She is the worst driver that I... she's not bad. She's just fast, and she scares me to death. Comes racing up and puts the brake on the lights. You know, Dad, don't complain that you don't have eyesight. You... I would pray that God would take more of it away if I was you. You don't want to see what... Unbelievable. You know. But say, Brother Jerry, what's with this Mountain Peak Senior Saints felt? You know what it is? It's so that I can feel less guilty. So a couple times a month, I can spend time with all of them for a few minutes and get to go around and sit and talk. And you know what? I wish we were in eternity, and I wish I had all the time in the world. I think of our married couples in here, and some of them are struggling. And some of them are having a tough time with some of their kids, and some of them just need a friend. And I look at that, and I want you to know this. Your pastor prays for you. And I know you feel like you're alone. And I'm not omniscient and omnipresent, and I don't have all the answers, and I can't be everywhere, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm really not here to be. I'm here to tell you that there is a God that is all those things. And he loves you, and he can help you, and he knows exactly what you're facing. And you know what? If you spent 2 hours explaining it to me, I'd do the best I could to comprehend and to feel what you're feeling. But you know what? God all is already there. He knows. But there's heartaches. But I want to tell you something. Hang in there, because this is not the end. This isn't the end. And you know, you say, Brother Jerry, why all the suffering? I said, I wish I could be everywhere at once. I wish I could be omniscient. I wish I always had the answer. I got two phone calls last night. I'll be honest with you. When I hung up, I don't know if I helped either one of the people, and they both needed help. I don't always have all the answers. Sometimes life, it just gets to be such a mess. And sometimes there isn't an answer. And I'm not sure everybody that calls wants an answer. Sometimes they just want somebody to listen and somebody to pray with them. And I can do that. But man, I wish, Brother Joe, I wish I just could just, I just wish I had, you know, I wish when with the job came this little suitcase and it had the preacher wand. You know, and all you got to do is make an appointment. Step on in and man, I'll reach out from underneath my desk and pull out the preacher wand and we'll wave that thing 5 or 6 times. And you know what? Everything will be, I wish I could. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could. But I can't. But you know what? I think the suffering's there for a reason. You know, it's part of the heritage of a Christian. Jesus never felt at home here. Jesus was despised. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Jesus was acquainted with grief. You understand that? Jesus didn't walk around with a big party smile on and hey-hoo all the time. He carried a burden. He was a perfect God in an imperfect world and spent his whole life trying to get folks to understand something that most of them didn't even want to understand. And he came into his own and his own received him not. And he was despised and rejected of men. And you know what? There's nothing you're feeling that he hasn't felt. And there's nothing you're going through that he can't understand. And you know what? All these sufferings, you know what? If anything, they drive us to him. They take us to the one who can't understand. They do. See, I wish I was omni-eternal. I made up that word. I don't know if it's a word or not. I wish I could just fast forward and pop back and forth. Somebody's, you know, a kid could come into my office and say, Brother Jerry, I want to make this decision, and I don't know where this decision will take me. I'll say, wait a minute, I'll get my time machine, and I'll go check. You know, and I get my time machine, and I'll go 20 years ahead of time, and I'll say, okay, what's going to happen to them if they make that decision? Oh, okay, get back in. Nope, you don't want to do that. Got anything else? Yeah, what if I do this? What if I head down this road? I'll get my time machine. Let me go check it out. Go 20 years ahead. Come back. Hey, man, that's the thing to do. You know, I don't know. I'll tell you what, I've grown. I wish I knew. I don't always know. But you know what? He knows. See, God's omnipresent. He can be there for me and be there for you at the same time. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. He's omni-eternal. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so maybe this whole thing isn't about any of us understanding everything. Maybe it's all of us just getting to Him. Getting close to Him. And just continue to groan and continue to groan because that's a part of life. It just is. But you know what? One of these days we're going to stop groaning. Because the trumpet's going to sound. Or we're going to meet our Maker. Our time's going to come. And those angels are going to come down and usher us into the presence of God. But either way, there's going to be a time when our spirit is going to cut loose from this mortal sinful world and this mortal sinful body. And I think we're going to shout glory all the way to heaven. Woohoo! All the way up. Amen. I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! It's all behind me. That's it. I don't have to do it anymore. By the way, who are we crying for at the funerals? That's a saved person. Who are we really crying for? I know, I do it too. Man, would you wish him back? As much as you miss him, would you wish him back? Not if they're in heaven. Let me tell you something. Cheryl, I wouldn't wish Todd back. Can you imagine what a good time that boy's having right now? Man alive. Never got to say a word here on earth with his mouth. He said stuff. Boy, did he say stuff. I think he talked more than most of us that could talk. He could do it all with a look. Never walked a step here on earth without somebody holding him up and helping him. Never got to drive a car. I don't know, he's probably riding a horse right now. Can you imagine him? I mean, folks, I just think if you didn't get the chance to talk down here, you're probably going to do a whole lot of it up there. You're probably driving everybody crazy. He's shouting and skipping and praising God. And you know what? We're groaning, aren't we? Young people, listen to me. Don't get too attached to this place. You're not really here very long. Oh, no, Brother Jerry, that's not true. Good night. You know how long it's taken me to live out these 11 years? Yeah, I do. 11 years. Yeah, I got that. Oh, no, but Brother Jerry, good night. Let me tell you something. The next 11 is going to go twice as fast, and the 11 after that's going to go five times as fast, and the 11 after that's going to go light speed. And this life is a vapor that appeareth for a short time and vanisheth away. I mean, wait a minute. I mean, good night. Wait a minute. I just blinked. I was just a teenager. What happened? You know, I'll tell you what happened. Life happened. Don't get too attached to anything down here. The suffering is necessary because it helps us to become more reliant on the Spirit of God. Did you read that beautiful verse in verse 26? Likewise, or because of this, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. God knows we have all these limitations, so He gave us the gift of the Spirit to indwell us. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And I think that's true. I don't care how convinced you are that you ought to pray about a certain thing. Most of the time what we ought to do is just say, God, I don't even know what to say. But your Holy Spirit knows what to say through me. Would you intercede for me? How many times have I spent a bunch of time praying for something that God was against? Or praying for something not to happen that God needed to happen? Or wanting something to happen and God said, no, that'll mess everything up. We think we know it, but a lot of times we don't. You see? So this Spirit of God, we become reliant on Him. And you know what? He searches our hearts. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. Boy, that's good. When we realize our limitations, we just have to become more reliant on the Holy Spirit of God. And we have to understand that He was placed there to help us because we're so limited in what we can really do. Try to live this Christian life in the power of the flesh, we're kidding ourselves. You see? And all the suffering is necessary because without it we would never discover the power of God and the goodness of God. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. So groan away, but keep doing right and following God. Because let me tell you something, even the things in your life that you think is bad, when you get on the other side of glory, you're going to look back and see that God used a lot of that to do His good for the kingdom of God. The suffering is necessary. All the suffering is necessary because without it we would never appreciate the love of God. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I want you, those of you in this room right now, and you know who I'm talking about. And you're carrying a burden. Or you've got a big decision to make. Or you're fighting something major in your life. Or your heart's breaking. Or you just don't know how much longer the old body's going to go. Let me have you listen to some verses here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, let me help you, church, and we're done. But let me help you. Brother Jerry, I'm like you. It just seems like there's a lot of groaning lately. I'm so frustrated. So many things I want to be and so many things I want to happen. It just seems like I'm so held back by whatever. Let me tell you something. God loves you. I thought God was mad. I said, no, God loves you. You know, we get mixed up sometimes about this whole thing about what God loves and what God hates. You know, God hates sin, but God loves the sinners. You better never forget that. Oh, Brother Jerry, I did something. I know God hates me. Let me tell you something. God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. Oh, Brother Jerry, I'm not doing very good at this Christian life thing. God loves you. Yeah, but maybe I've done something to separate myself from the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Brother Jerry, I don't know if anybody really understands. Yes, there is. Jesus understands. Jesus understands. And so, groan away. And sometimes we'll get together and groan together. Two-part harmony. But you know what? 100 years from now, you know what's going to matter? Were you saved? Were you saved? Not whatever problem you're facing. Not whatever dilemma. Not whatever decision you're trying to make. Not whatever heartache. Not even whatever's wrong with your body right now. That's not going to really matter. 100 years from now, you know what's going to matter? Are you saved? Are you saved? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd minister to us this morning, Lord. And I don't know if what I said made any sense or not, Lord, but I tried to speak from my heart. And God, we long for you. And we're sorry that we don't do a better job. But Lord, the psalmist reminded us that you remember that, and you remember that we're but dust. And forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings. I don't think there's a person in this room that's a Christian that don't wish that they were better for you. Lord, we just have to have your strength. There's people in our congregation that's going through real heartaches right now, some real tough things. But Lord, you have the answer. And you love each and every person in this room. And I pray, Lord, that love would be shed abroad in their heart this morning by the Holy Spirit of God, that they would know how much you love them. They would feel that. Lord, all we can really do as dear children is to come to you with our problems, our heartaches, the things that are holding us back, and ask that you would give us the victory. And we do pray for victory, Lord. We want to live in such a way to please you. So much depends on us being all that we can be for the Lord. And Lord, we don't want to disappoint you or let you down. So please give us the power to live in such a way, Lord, that would bring honor and glory to your name. Bless the invitation, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.